The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 165 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Tuesday, August 5th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, how's it going today?
Good, man. I'm not outside this week. I'm back in the studios, so safe and sound. No bats flying around.
No bats overhead.
Yeah, it's an improvement, so that's good.
I can't make any promises on my end. I am alone in the apartment right now with the dog, and she thinks she needs to bark at everything. So she may make an appearance tonight. She's been pretty good on the podcast the last... since we've been in the apartment. Only occasionally is she on. But yeah, we'll see what happens tonight.
She's our third co-host. Yeah.
Good. I'm ready with the mute button, so we'll see what happens.
You can't dump the dog.
I will dump the dog. So anyway, we are coming fresh off of a track that has oft been predicted to be the worst race of the season, and for the second year in a row, James, pretty darn good race.
Yeah, it was my favorite race last year, and delivered again. New Hampshire is, I tell you what, when NASCAR takes a race away, the tracks take notice because they always get better for some reason. So yeah, it was another really good show on Sunday. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's, you know, a little bit of everything that I like. You know, the cars are running the higher horsepower, and Keselowski and Hamlin were just getting after it. It was, you know, as good as it gets, you know, I feel like, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue against this 750 low downforce package on a short track. And we can sit here and debate till we're blue in the face over whether New Hampshire's a short track or not. It's a mile track. Technically not a short track because it's a mile long, but I think it runs like a short track.
I think this is a short track
in the Cup Series.
So the same way that Phoenix would be considered a short track.
I don't buy into the Phoenix as a short track thing. I'm with Dale Jr. on that one.
It's not. We know it's not, but I tell you what, I have my eyes on Brad Keselowski for possibly sneaking this championship, though. I feel like that's a good sign for the Penske boys. That he ran so well here, and a good sign for Hamlin too, because he was no slouch.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what, the New Hampshire Motor Speedway owes a giant gift to Brad Keselowski and Denny Hamlin
for
some of the best racing for the lead that we've seen in ages in the Cup Series.
Beating and banging for the stage win.
And banging in the middle of the race with nothing to gain.
I know.
It was great. And there she is. There she starts.
There she is. There. Hey, Bella.
It was great stuff. It was really good racing, and it was throughout the whole pack. It wasn't just the leaders,
right? And you know, and one thing we know about Brad too is Brad just refuses to back down. To be damned, I guess, because he just, you know, he doesn't take any slack from any of those Gibbs guys. You know, his big rival Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin. I really enjoyed that. That was kind of old school a little bit, which I feel like Brad does tend to be a little bit old school. So, that was good. I loved seeing him up front battling with those guys.
Yeah. He's definitely not intimidated by running with other people. He definitely is comfortable with his place in the Cup Series. That's for sure.
Yeah. Not there to make friends.
Yeah.
It's, you know, similar to Kyle Busch in that way where they, quite frankly, don't give a dang if you like them or not. They're there to win a race.
Exactly. So Brad Keselowski gets the Foxwood Resort Casino 301 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. It's his 33rd victory in 397 NASCAR Cup Series starts and his third victory of 2020.
Man, he's going to come up on 400 starts soon. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
I remember, I mean, golly, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago when he was, you know, causing a scene in the Xfinity series. So,
yeah, I remember him driving that 88 car and then sneaking the win at Talladega with Carl Edwards in the fence. And
it seems like it wasn't that long ago.
Just to think 33 wins now. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's the sneaky thing. We've talked, you and I have had that conversation before. Brad's sneakiness. I mean, he's. Yeah. I mean,
he's
you think
so
about it,
he's underrated for somebody who's won a championship.
Yeah, he flies under the radar in
that
way.
He's more underrated than Bobby Labonte was when Bobby Labonte was racing.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. A Dale Jarrett type.
Yeah, too. Exactly. You know, Jarrett was always really underrated, too. You're right.
Yeah, he's going to get you 3 wins a year, and he's done it now for the 4th year in a row. He's got that, you know, he's got 3 wins exactly so far.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. I mean, we're going to Michigan this weekend. Can Brad get himself a win finally on the home track?
He wants it. He's got 2 shots at it, so you know he wants it bad. He's mentioned it quite often that he wants it bad. And we'll talk about it in a little bit, but he's got fresh paperwork signed, so he's got no worries there either. He can run free.
Yeah, he's all the pressure's off Brad now. This is going to be a fun rest of the season for him, I think.
Yeah, and you look, Eric, at the playoff points, and as dominant as Harvick and Hamlin have been, Brad's playoff points are, I mean, he's nudged right up to Harvick now. I think he's only 4 points behind him as far as the playoff points are concerned. So that's, I mean, he's having a really good year, but again, you know, like you said, he's flying under the radar.
Right.
But he's got, you know, he's having a heck of a run. I mean, this is by far his statistical best season. I mean, he's already got 15 top 10s in our 20 races, and he's never, even his championship season, never finished with a average finish above 10 his entire Cup career. Right now, 8.6. So he is rocketing past those numbers so far this year too.
Huh. Interesting. So yeah, Brad Keselowski gets the win. We talked about Denny Hamlin, great battle between those two all day. Keselowski ends up leading 184 laps. Hamlin led 92. That was it. I mean, nobody else led double digits, but it didn't feel like a runaway. I mean, those guys were close the whole race. Brad finally got away from Denny at the end. Everybody was waiting for that caution that never came. They managed to play the fuel strategy just right. Brad had enough fuel to do the burnout after the race and everything. So Keselowski's able to get it done and get the win. A couple other things to talk about. Let's talk about Kyle Busch. 38th place finish, cuts down the tire, hits the wall. 15 laps is all in this race.
Man.
I mean, he wasn't even there.
His struggles continue now.
We're starting to talk about Kyle Busch on the bubble because he's 10th in points. He's 10th in points technically, but he's hanging out back there, 13th ranked with
the winners. Yeah, Dylan and Custer.
It's so freaking confusing to read these point standings. It's just, I understand why people don't like
around,
him.
Right?
But he's back there. I mean, he's got to get something together here. Still one stage win the entire season so far.
Yeah, he's been junk. I mean, it's been all season, and you know, a blown tire is a blown tire. That can happen to anybody anytime. But
heck, it can happen to you twice. Ask Matt Kenseth.
Yeah, exactly. And Chris Bell too. He had issues with his tires. Yep. But this is just a snake bit type season. I mean, we're getting to the point, Eric. You know, I'll ask you: does he win this year?
I find it hard to say no, but what do we got left? I mean, does he win in the regular season? I don't think he does.
He's not winning Michigan.
No, I mean,
does he win?
He's not going to win Michigan. Watch him go dominate both of them this weekend.
Right.
He's not going to win Michigan. I don't put him at the top of the rung on the Daytona road course by any means. He does have experience there, which a lot of drivers don't.
Recent experience. He raced there this year.
So that might help him, but I don't know, man. I don't see him being the guy there.
He's really out to lunch. I mean, it's weird.
So he's got 2 Dover chances and another Daytona to get it done in the regular season. I mean, Daytona is going to be intense.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
There are going to be a lot of guys that need to win a race there. I mean, right now, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but right now, outside looking in, Tyler Reddick, Jimmy Johnson, Eric Jones.
Yeah. Well, that's the time of the year we're in, Eric. And those listening, we're going to be getting into the playoff bubble every week now. Yeah. It's just going to be – and actually, Eric, you know, that's probably my fault is we should start putting that in the show notes where everybody's at. I think I'll start doing that next week.
Yeah, we definitely want to add that.
Because we're going to have 2 races this weekend, and it's going to be even more of a jumble. So,
yeah, I mean, just looking at these, like I said, Tyler Reddick, Jimmy Johnson, Eric Jones. Eric Jones is, you know, a favorite at Daytona.
Eric Jones has to win. He has to win now.
Bubba Wallace runs good at Daytona. He's outside. Christopher Bell, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., we know how good he is at Daytona. Ryan Newman is way out looking in.
Yeah.
You know, there's some guys, man.
With, four missed races, right? He missed, or three missed races, something like that.
Ty Dillon is back there. Ty has run well at Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot, Ryan Preece has run well at Daytona. He's outside looking in. So,
well, Corey and maybe LaJoy. You know, yeah. I know.
This Daytona is going to be insane.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. And, you know, Austin Dillon, thankfully for him, he's got his win. He's in there. Yep. So, and Austin Dillon and Cole Custer really messed up this whole playoff grid a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, Cole Custer's earned 380 points on the season. You think about how we're talking about how bad Kyle Busch is running, but
right.
You know, Cole Custer's a rookie with, you know, he's still gaining experience on his way up. So that's definitely a spot stolen for sure.
Yeah, you look at traditional point standings and Kyle Busch is 10th.
Yeah.
You know, so
just not him. It's just not him. And this is the first year since he's been with Gibbs. He's never gone this long without a win.
Right.
And you know,
you got to keep in mind too, that he did win the championship last year, but he was terrible the second half of last year.
Oh yeah. He was bad in the stretch, but he made it to Homestead and got the job done. So, you know, championship deserved, no, not taking it away from him.
No,
but that's
definitely
the only win he's had in a year and a half ish, somewhere around there. No, he's getting to that point, or a season and a half.
Yeah.
So it's not been pretty. But you know, I see he's running his late model a bunch now. I don't know if he's trying to get some feel there or what he's got going on. I know he was in Wisconsin last night, so
he wasn't he wasn't testing a steel bodied stock car at Daytona on the road course, was he? We don't have that in the show notes, but we probably should mention that. Jesus,
he did not do that. No.
I mean, might have gotten him an advantage, but it'd have cost him 75 points.
Go to Jeff Gluck's Twitter feed if you want to read a good thread. That's
For anybody who missed it, Alex LeBay went and practiced a steel-bodied stock car on the Daytona Road Course, Planet Racing, with the SCCA event, and NASCAR figured it out and parked him and said, "Yeah, you're not going to do that," and took 75 points away and a bunch of money. So
yeah, jeez.
NASCAR has been pretty strict with this Daytona thing that nobody gets to test. They're not doing practice ahead of time. They're basically doing everything they can to try and make sure that nobody has an advantage going into this race. They can't run multiple races. They can only run one race on the weekend. But iRacing has the chicane out, so they can practice there.
Yeah, there you go. You can get your iRacing fix. That's the gist of it at that point, right?
Yeah, definitely. let's see. Who else we want to talk about in this one, James?
Some winners and losers.
Yeah, we mentioned Matt Kenseth. He finishes 37th, hit the wall twice.
Yeah, he brought out a lot of cautions.
John Hunter wrecked as well, 36th for him. Corey LaJoy, a bad day for him.
Chris Bell kept popping tires. We mentioned him.
Yeah.
Let me see. Blaney, what happened? He had a bad pit stop.
Terrible strategy, just bad strategy.
Yeah, they just were gone. Yeah.
Their strategy has been so bad this year.
Which is weird because he's got a recent cup champion crew chief on the box.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with those guys.
Yeah, it's strange. That's a strange one.
Jimmy Johnson wrecks and finishes 12th. Almost an old Jimmy Johnson day, except he didn't come up to contend, but he was up there at some point during the race.
Yeah. Yeah, he had that I guess it was early on in the race. He looped it.
Yeah, ran into Bowyer. Basically tried to pass Bowyer from turn one back in turn two and came out of nowhere. And Bowyer, I mean, as much as Jimmy wanted to blame Bowyer in a spotter, it was Jimmy's fault, man.
Wow, Jimmy's, yeah.
he wasn't making that turn no matter where Bowyer was.
Yeah, bonehead Jimmy came back to show himself again.
Well, and Brett Griffin talked on the DBC podcast this week about Jimmy's got some stats as far as wrecking cars this season. He's caused a caution, I think he said, in 40% of the races.
Yeah, he's and this is a trend for a couple of seasons with him. He's definitely trended upwards in his but he's always, you know, that's been something throughout his whole career though, where he's had moments like that. They used to be minimized in the Knaus era.
Yeah, him and Knaus used to come back to win the race after he wrecked.
Yeah, he would do stuff like that all the time. And then they were just so freaking fast that nobody could stop him. Well, now he doesn't have the car and he's been crashing at a much more frequent rate.
Yeah. Man. Matt DiBenedetto, good day for him, finishes sixth.
Yep. The other guys for Stewart Haas Racing, Eric Almirola and Cole Custer, another great seventh and eighth place finish there for those guys.
Yep. Kevin Harvick ran decent, did lead six laps on the day. He was up there.
They had to bounce back, didn't they? Yeah, they fell off in stage two, I believe. They didn't even place in stage two in the top 10. So, yeah, they had to. That was a yeoman's effort from Harvick for a top five.
Yeah, started out the race good and then rallied back. And with a restart at the end, probably would have been more in contention. Probably would have had a shot up front, but I don't think anybody was touching Brad and Denny. Those were the guys, you know.
Yeah, they had to fight it out between themselves, and they did.
Yeah.
Truex started to build something though. That was a really good race from Truex, and that team. I know they've got the one win at Martinsville, but lurking. Mm-hmm. I just really like what I saw out of that 19 car. They had a really good day. They just weren't at the class of the 11 and the 2. I mean, they were in a whole other stratosphere.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. Ryan Preece finishes 16th. He was in the mix. I mean, not toward the front so much, but real good track for Ryan Preece. He's got a lot of laps in New Hampshire. So, I mean, it's a win for those guys because they finished top 20 and they didn't finish last.
They need good runs where they can get them. And his teammate Stenhouse was right up there too. So, I mean, that was a great day for all those guys.
Yeah. Any finish other than a last place finish for Ryan Preece is a win lately.
Yeah, I was just counting this really quick. I'm looking at the finishing order of the make of the cars, the manufacturers. 9 Chevys from 9th until 17th. It's all Chevrolets, and that's their highest finishing orders, which is crazy. Yeah, it's a Ford Barrage at the front. Hmm. Yeah, I was just looking at that really quick. Chase Elliott, I mean, that's a good run for Chase at that track. So, and Tyler Reddick continues to do Tyler Reddick things.
Yeah,
continues to get top tens, hanging around, just consistently good.
Yeah.
So.
Let's see anything other stats here that jump out. Cole Custer's top finishing rookie. Denny Hamlin had his 16th top 10 finish in 27 races at New Hampshire. It's his 12th top 10 finish of 2020.
Dang. Wow.
So there you go. All right, James, let's talk. Great race. What is it? Is it the aero package? Is it? I'll start with my prediction. My prediction is that, first of all, New Hampshire did this brilliant thing where when they put the banking in, the bottom lane is banked less than the high lane.
Yep.
And it's the only track that will work to put PJ1 on the inside and the bottom in that less banked spot and in the higher banked spot and have an open space in the middle. And it creates two lanes that are equal. And that's what makes this track good. You can complain about PJ1 all you want. You can talk about PJ1 not being a factor, but this track, it has changed.
Well, they've got a good combination of everything here. And I think the PJ1 is definitely at least half of that combination because
you can't blame the package completely because we did have the high downforce last year here.
Yeah, and it was still a good race last year.
Exactly.
Probably my favorite race of the year last year. I mean, it was fantastic. And they've had races in the last couple of years that have been really great.
Since they've been putting PJ1 down here, this place has been spectacular. I think Bristol, we've seen the most benefit from the PJ1.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a slide zone in there. So you've got, like you said, you've got the PJ1 and the two different parts of the grooves and the different banking, and you've got like that give area. It's like a hamburger.
Is you can't run the low groove all the way around the turn.
Right.
You got to slide up and you can't run the high groove all the way around the turn because you're entering and exiting too high.
Yeah.
That and it just makes it work because you've got to switch between those two grooves. And it's a 300 mile race.
Well, and you can watch, and Eric too, I think the drivers on the track have a great influence on that as well, because you see the entry in the corner is totally different for different guys. Yep. You got some guys who are working the diamond of the corner. Some guys are taking the high arc. I mean, how many times did we watch Keselowski and Hamlin, I mean, crisscrossing each other?
Yep, exactly.
Trying to make it out, trying to figure it out. I really enjoyed that. When you've got good grip like that, you have some room to do some things.
This current package and the PJ1 and the layout of the track, this is like a late model race. That's what this feels like. It feels like an old style late model track, late model race, where you see the passing and the turns. They can run side by side. One guy gets an advantage for a little bit, then the other guy comes back. usually these flat tracks aren't good for NASCAR, but with this PJ1, it's really helped.
Yeah, and you know what?
You know, I mentioned, I mentioned that, you know, here in Bristol are the two places that it's affected the most. It's the exact opposite reason, too, because the PJ1 makes this track more racy and it makes Bristol less racy. And that's why we like Bristol, is because we want Bristol to be less racy. We want contact there.
Yeah, you want one groove.
Here, we want guys running side by side, and it's been great.
Well, and this is what when what happens with PJ1 in New Hampshire is what NASCAR wants it to do everywhere else.
Right.
But one of the problems that NASCAR has is at New Hampshire, those cars are getting down under 100 miles an hour in the corners.
Exactly.
There's room there, and with the higher horsepower, you've got the room also. I mean, there's just a large gap of space for drivers to make things happen in that space.
Yep.
If you're putting PJ1 down at Michigan, for example, and you're going into the corner at 205, there's not a lot of room for anything, and you're taking horsepower away from the car, so there's not a lot of throttle response. So you've got a tight window to keep it in those lanes there, and the PJ1's not going to do much.
Right, and it also helps in New Hampshire that you can slide in a little bit when it's not activated, and it doesn't kill your race, whereas, like you said, at Michigan or at Kentucky we saw, you get into it when it's not activated, and you're wrecking.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So. Yeah, the room for error at New Hampshire is so wide, and you can do so. You've got a big box to play with, whereas, you know, your fast tracks, Texas, things like that, you're still trying to hit. You're still trying to run over a dime in the corner. You know, you're trying to find you're trying to hit those perfect marks every time. It's not as racy.
So interesting to see this cycle that we get. And, you know, okay, so let me just say this. We're putting it on the PJ1 and the package and what all that. Let's just say what it really is. This is all about the age of the track. This is all about the natural cycle of a racetrack, because we have tracks that have been terrible that are now our best tracks. And why are they our best tracks? Because they haven't been touched.
Yep. Club.
California, is one of the best. Chicagoland, great racing. We hated those tracks.
Darlington's great.
Yeah, California, we wanted to rip up. Darlington's always been great, but we've wanted to rip up California. I mean, we wanted it off the schedule. Atlanta, I could do without, but I think Atlanta's too bad now. But
maybe. You know, and Darlington's pavement is fairly new, but it just wears fast out there. So
they've done to tracks like Kentucky and Texas, that they do that to Michigan next time they pave it, because I have a feeling by the time Michigan wears out to where it's any good, they're going to have to pave it again, because that place just won't wear.
Yeah.
But I think it Michigan, has to do with age.
Yeah, exactly. And when they first paved Michigan, it had a short window there for about a year and a half where drivers were trying to fight for that area. The racing was actually pretty good, but then then everything kind of spaced out a little bit. And
it was good at the beginning, though, because it was fast.
It was so fast, yeah. I mean, we were really flying there.
Once they slowed the cars down there,
they killed it. Yep.
If you're going to have a track that you can't pass on, at least make it fast. And then it gives you some reason to watch it.
Yeah. Remember how fun that was when they were qualifying at what? I mean, they were pushing the 220, almost 220s, weren't they?
Yeah, I got to stand by the fence on that.
Yeah.
Down in turn one. That's hairy.
Yeah. It was nuts.
All right. That's fun. Anything else with New Hampshire that we need to talk about? It's kind of a weird weekend because it was it. This was our race this weekend. That was all.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we weren't used to it, and we had a little bit of a break in between.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird standalone race, and off we go.
We're going to make up with it this weekend with four races this weekend.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Four races on two different tracks, five if you count the ARCA series.
Wow. Yep. We're back. We back. Crazy schedule.
All right, let's bust through some news. We'll go through the news real quick, and then we're going to talk some silly season stuff, because we got some silly season news this week. Decided to break it out. We'll probably break it out over the next few weeks. I have a feeling we're going to see more of this stuff because the dominoes are starting to fall finally, a little later than usual, but they've been falling. So first off, news broke this week. No coronavirus outbreaks after the All-Star race at Bristol. We had 20,000 or so people in the stands, and so far health officials have not identified any outbreaks as a result of that. So
that's good news, right?
Yeah, I guess it's a good thing. You can't complain about it.
Nope.
I mean, I still get nervous every time I see fans in the stands.
I do too. Yeah.
But they're outside and.
Well, this ties into another one of our news items. I think we can bunch them up a little bit here. But the Indy 500 announced that no fans. They started out at what, Eric? They said 80%, then 50%, then 25%, and now Raj did the right thing and
yep.
and nixed it.
Yeah, no fans. At least we still get the Indy 500. I mean, it could be worse, but
yeah, you get the Indy 500. Yeah, I mean, it's what, and you know, New Hampshire had fans in the stands.
Yeah.
And it, they did look fairly spaced out to me, but I agree
till
with
the
you
end when they all crowded the fence.
Yeah, I know. I still agree with you, man. Makes me nervous seeing it. Still does.
Well, and IndyCar canceled their race at Mid-Ohio as well because of increased coronavirus cases. So
yeah, starting to spike a little bit, a little bit more. Whereas in our state, at least, we're starting to see a plateauing, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's kind of evening out.
But we're still not in a space where we're ready to come back to stuff.
No, either. It's going to be a while before the governor lets a lot of people in the stands at anything, for sure. So,
Gretch?
Yeah. like James said, no fans of the Indy 500. Watkins Glen, we lost this season to the coronavirus, but they said today that they expect to be on the 2021 schedule. I mean, I don't think anybody was thinking that they weren't going to be, right?
No, and I also saw, Eric, that the schedule may be announced in August.
Yeah, I've seen that we're starting to look close at getting that out. So
I don't like that they said that they expect to be in the 2021 schedule. Why would you take Watkins Glen away from anybody?
Right.
I don't understand. I would not understand that.
And I don't know if you read the article. It was on J-Ski, and it just said they were asked about it. The president was asked about it on one of the sports channels, and he just said, absolutely no question about it. So
yeah,
this is a sports channel making a story out of nothing.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody talks to Chicagoland and finds out whether they're going to be on the schedule next year, that's a story because we don't know. I'm a little nervous about Chicago. Yeah. Man, I don't want to lose Chicago because I love that track. But so not that we've heard anything leading us to believe that might be the case, but I'm getting more and more nervous with the stuff talk about Iowa and whatnot. So
yeah, Iowa's concerning, and yeah, if NASCAR is looking to do street course racing, Chicagoland's in trouble there.
Yeah.
Too. So yeah, we got a couple of things up in the air, a couple balls in the air there. But I do have hope with some of these double headers that, you know, we're going to see a lot of changes, but you know, we may see multiple races at some of our favorite tracks again. So that's good news. And Bella likes it.
Yeah, she does. She does. Speaking of road course races and street course races, I got stuck in a YouTube rabbit hole the other day. The Grand Prix that they ran at the Meadowlands for IndyCar. IndyCar has raced in the parking lot at the Meadowlands twice. Well,
oh, that's cool.
Two different tracks. Neither was successful. But got stuck in the YouTube rabbit hole on that. And
yeah, you can find yourself in some pretty good YouTube rabbit holes on any different type of race. I mean, there's this NASCAR history account on Instagram, and they always have highlights of old races, and they break them up into all these large clips, and you're swiping through, and I get stuck on that every single time. It's like, you know, right now they're doing Michigan, and they're doing like 2003 Michael Waltrip winning the Xfinity Series race. I got caught up into that one. 2001, there was they did a Cup Series race, and I just get lost in it every time. It never fails. It makes me stop.
Well, since you mentioned that, I was debating whether to use this as one of my shout outs this week, because I have a couple, or whether to hold off and save it for another one, because I don't think I've ever shouted them out before, but NASCAR Man History on YouTube puts out some great videos about, you know, historical things that happened in NASCAR. And James, I sent you and Todd, the video this week about how SlimFast is responsible for modern NASCAR.
Yeah, that was good.
And basically, the SlimFast sponsorship and Rob Moroso and Greg Sachs are responsible for Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon's championships. And I won't tell you guys anything more than that. Just go on YouTube, search for NASCAR Man History. It is excellent, and he's got some great stuff. I'm looking at his page right here. Short Tracks to Cookie Cutters, Inside NASCAR's 1990s Track Shift. That was a great video. IndyCars at Pocono, a very tricky history, talking about that. The Daytona 500 that changed everything, Speed Weeks 1988. There's some good stuff.
Anytime we can drop Greg Sachs's name on this podcast, we're doing our job.
Right? Well, I didn't even realize that Greg Sachs's career was done until Days of Thunder.
When he did
as well as he did driving the Days of Thunder cars for the movie,
yeah, man. Yeah.
It got him a ride.
Bobby Hamilton drove some of those cars too, yep, and got noticed. Yeah, there's some good stories there, because who was leading at Phoenix in the City Chevrolet? Was that Greg Sachs?
Yeah, I believe it was a Busch Series race.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah,
but they pulled the cameras and let him race.
Yep,
let him finish the race, and I think he won it, or maybe I can't remember.
I don't know if he won it, but he was up there for a long time.
Yeah.
they led 50 laps or something. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of Jimmy Johnson, big news this week, James, for Jimmy Johnson.
Everywhere he goes.
Huge news this week. He's getting a nature trail in Michigan. NASCAR is going to name the nature trail at Graves Family Campground at MIS the Jimmy Johnson Nature Trail. So
there you go.
Woohoo. But I thought it was worth mentioning. It's Michigan's our home track. So
of nature trails, so check that out sometime.
Go. Next time you're at MIS, you need to go wander the Jimmy Johnson Nature Trail.
And I guarantee you that Jimmy Johnson may visit that place one time this weekend, and that might be it.
Probably. When there's fans out there, I bet you it's a little wilder on race
probably
weekend.
Yeah. I would not want to go on a nature trail at night at the MIS campground.
I mean, maybe you would.
Maybe. I don't know. Well,
it might be a good time, James.
End it up these days. I don't know.
All right. I think that covers the news. I think, right?
Yeah. I think so, man.
I mentioned the Alex LeBay thing already. We passed that. So let's talk some silly season stuff. James already mentioned it. Brad Keselowski signs an extension to stay with Team Penske. First domino falls in a silly season race.
Yeah. Championship domino, I guess, right? The big dog.
I called this one, right?
Yeah,
it was happening. You could see the writing on the wall here.
Yeah, I think you and I had a good messaging thing about it with our buddy Todd too. And once COVID struck, I think it changed everything.
Pre-COVID, pre-Kyle Larson getting fired, things were a lot different. This is one of those things, like we look at the Slim Fast thing with NASCAR Man History. This is one of those years. Or the Dale Earnhardt Jr. driving Kyle Busch's car at Texas. This is one of those things that will stick.
I was just going to say how iRacing won Brad Keselowski another championship.
Exactly. Like yeah.
It seems like forever ago, Eric, but do you remember how grumpy he was at Speed Weeks in Daytona? I mean, we were like, oh man, this is not good. Like he's definitely on his way out.
Right.
But then 10 weeks off and things go down. And, you know, one thing we've stayed consistent on is we believe that Brad was looking for stability and a longer contract. And we don't know the terms of this contract, but you got to believe that this is Brad's getting one last long payday is what you got to believe here.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you're Brad Keselowski. Where else are you going? That 48 ride is not the ride you want right now. You're in a better spot where you are now. He fits the mold of Penske. I mean, to a T, fits Penske.
Yeah, he is Team Penske.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't think there's a spot open at SHR because despite the fact that there's two guys that's contracts are up this year, there's, like, six people in line to fill those seats. So.
Right, yeah. Think of the cars that are better than the two car that you can jump into today.
Right.
It's the four car and the 11 car, and I doubt there's any. I couldn't list another car on that that's better than the two.
No, I agree.
Really can't. I mean, you're in the best possible seat to win another championship.
Yep. I mean, you can look at future and see in what the trends. I mean, obviously he's on the inside of Penske, so he's got a better idea what the trends are at that company. So maybe there's more there, but obviously not. He signed the contract, so.
Brad is not afraid to share his truths.
Right.
And I think a year from now or so, we'll know more about how this all went down. But I would love to know how hard he looked at Penske, because you had to believe there must have been some sort of conversation there.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent or what, but somebody had to have. I mean, this took a long time, and this is late. August is late. So
I think we'd have had an answer on this a lot sooner if it wasn't for COVID, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But you got to believe that Brad was looking around. I mean, he wasn't he wasn't lobbying to stay at Penske.
Right.
He was looking elsewhere to see what and as he should, he needs to see what his value's worth.
Yeah.
And maybe that's Roger telling him, Brad, go look around and see what other teams are willing to offer you and I'll match it or give you more. I mean, it could be that simple, but you know, either way, it was a process.
Yep. So with that, the biggest free agent of the season, I think, falls off the eligibility list. Who's second now?
Yeah. You and I agree. It's probably Jones. He's the best driver out there.
Well, it certainly is after the news we got this week.
Well, outside of, we have to remember Kyle Larson. We can't not mention him in the free agency talk. I mean, he's out there and he's definitely super talented. So, but I still think Erik Jones, as far as value, is the best driver right now.
I still think there's only one spot that Larson can go.
It's to Stuart Haas.
Yeah. It's this year. There's only one spot he can go. If he comes back next year, that's it.
Yep. The 14 seat is the only spot for Kyle Larson.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so I agree. Erik Jones really high on that list. Obviously, Tyler Reddick may be high on that list.
Maybe. Bubba, well, with the news of what, you know, with the news of Hendrick possibly going back to three cars, you know, I don't know.
Chris Knight was on Sirius the other day, and whether we like Chris or not, Chris, you know, has a pretty good ear on the sport. He's got a lot of sources inside the sport. He's been the pool reporter for some of the COVID races. Very well-sourced individual. And he said that he has heard absolutely nothing from his sources at Hendrick that lead him to believe that they're going to drop to three teams. And it just doesn't make any sense, James, because there's so much hinged on those charters. I mean, okay, so let's jump into one of the other news items. Levine Family Racing announces that it's sold. I don't know that the details still aren't official yet where that went, right? They haven't actually announced that they went to Spire,
but
we're pretty sure they went to Spire.
Yeah.
So if Spire is now buying up, you know, another available charter, that means there's not a big market for these charters.
It's ridiculous.
Hendrick's going to have more value to run that car without a sponsor. Yeah. Then he's going to be to sell that charter.
Even if it's the part-time Jimmy, and Jimmy Johnson got people stirred up with his semi-retirement tweet.
Yeah,
this week.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That Spire thing makes me so mad that we lost another, and it makes me mad mostly at Toyota for not backing this team more. Yeah. I really wish they'd give it another effort outside of Joe Gibbs, because they've got so many talented drivers and they're just out of room. There's just no room at the end for anybody at Toyota. Right.
But then is Joe Gibbs as good as it is without all of Toyota's support?
No, it's not. But it's the only thing that Toyota is really behind, you know.
But Toyota doesn't need any more than that.
Well, you could argue that they weaken themselves a little bit by not having more seats available for some of the best drivers that they've, you know, that they had. They lost Larson. They're going to lose Jones.
Yeah.
You know, it just stinks. I wish they had a second team to put more of this young talent in.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for sure.
It's hard because you've got Kyle Busch and he ain't going anywhere. And Denny Hamlin right now is at the peak of his powers, and Martin Truex Jr., he's coming off the peak of his powers. So what are you going to do? Like, you've got Chris Bell that you want, you know?
Well, and obviously that's another domino now that we've got Christopher Bell. He's not going to be at Levine Family Racing next year. Doubt he's going to be driving the Spire car. So now you're Joe Gibbs. Who are you keeping? You keeping Jones or keeping Bell?
You got to let Jones go.
That's what I think, and it sucks for Jones. But
let's you talk to Martin Truex Jr. and say, hey, Martin, what's your plan here?
There's no way.
I don't think Martin wants to retire.
Truex isn't old enough to be. Truex still got some stuff in him.
He's not going anywhere,
and I don't think Gibbs is going to even approach him with it.
Well, and I mean, with Cole Pearn not being there, that's the only opening I would see there. But that seat has seen drivers leave very quickly before.
I think Jones leaving Joe Gibbs probably will be one of those things that's best for both teams.
Yeah, it's going to be Joey Logano all over again.
Yep. Whoever gets Jones, I mean, you stick him in that 48 car. Holy cow.
Yeah, or at Stuart Haas.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be, I mean, geez, oh, Pete. I hate that we are back. The good stuff at the front of the field is dwindling again. Mm-hmm. You know, we lost the 78. We're going to lose the 95. Not that the 95 is a Class A ride, but
no,
I mean,
but it had potential to build into what the 78 was.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Gibbs satellite that had something going, and now that's gone. So, you know, what does Toyota look at, like a front row, and do they expand there? I don't know. There's a lot of chairs moving around, but some of the chairs are going away, and there's really good drivers staying there with their hands in their pockets.
Well, let's put a pin in that, because I want to come back to that in a second. I started to mention that, you know, another top, you know, possible free agent, well, definite free agent, possibly a top free agent, has been very popular this season and definitely has drawn sponsors right now, and that's Bubba Wallace.
Yeah.
We found out this week that not only has he been offered a contract with Richard Petty Motorsports, but he's also been offered partial ownership of the team. He confirmed that that was the case. Chip Ganassi Racing is looking like a potential option for Bubba, and it seems like a lot of the arrows are pointing that direction.
It's fit, yeah, pieces fit.
He's also been mentioned as possible for the 48 car, but Bubba's got a relationship with McDonald's, which has a relationship with Chip Ganassi, so that would be good for them.
Good symmetry.
One thing that I want to go back to the other statement is that RPM, the RPM president or owner, said the other day that they've recently been approached by three drivers asking about that ride, including a current star, but their focus is on keeping Bubba. Now, two things I want to take from this. A, this is no different than Clint Bowyer a few weeks ago talking about how he wants to keep that ride. This is all politics. Mm-hmm. This is them telling Bubba, hey, there's a big name that could step into this ride if you go. This leads me to believe that there's probably a really good chance that Bubba's leaving. Secondly,
The ownership thing is that's the thing that tells you that Bubba's got a foot out the door, and that's an inspiration play.
Secondly, what if that interested party is someone like Eric Jones with support from Toyota, and you switch the petty cars to Toyota?
Yeah, that would be a dangerous combination. I mean, that would be a good combination.
There's nothing behind that rumor. It just kind of popped in my head, but
that's a great thought, because you have a better driver.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate. He's a race winner and he's a playoff guy. So he's a
more proven driver than Bubba.
Yeah, he's a higher caliber driver.
Yep.
And Chris Bell is a higher potential talent at this point too. So you've got sponsorship backing and possibly manufacturer backing. If Bubba decides to step away, that would open up a seat there. That would actually be a nice fit, Eric. I like what you're saying there.
And Petty's never been afraid to switch manufacturers.
No, he's switched his whole career. He's been forward.
Well,
Chip.
Shoot, he left NASCAR and drag raced for a while.
Yeah, he don't care. But he don't care what they're running.
Yep.
Yeah, the ownership. When I saw that they offered him an ownership stake, that told me everything I need to know about what Bubba's doing right now. Yep. He's taking the moment as he should. And he's going to try to find the best opportunity.
And it sounds like he's got a lot of options on the table.
Gosh, yeah. To have a driver offered ownership stake. Geez. I mean, that's only been handed out to how many guys? Jeff Gordon, you know, in his day, Tony Stewart, obviously that was the big ownership, give.
Right. If you've got an opportunity at a top tier team, and okay, let's say the only other opportunity he has right now is Chip Ganassi Racing. It's still a proven team. It's still a team that's won races versus the team that hasn't in forever. And certainly not in its current iteration, it hasn't. I mean, does ownership keep you there? I don't think it does it? All it does is guarantee you that you're probably not going anywhere, but you're still not going anywhere.
Yeah, guarantees you a seat for many years to come as long as the team is making money.
Yeah, but the team was barely surviving a couple years ago.
And Bubba's now bringing in sponsorship, so that's a good thing. It depends on what Bubba really sees for himself. And it's not like Gene Haas giving Tony Stewart half the company and saying, bring your resources, bring your people, let's do it.
This was a 10 to 20% ownership stake.
Yeah, it's not. If Bubba sees some future growth here where he can, maybe the performance on the track is not maximized, but he can maximize his earnings down the road. That is tough.
Bubba's too frustrated in that car. There's no way he stays for ownership.
I mean, yeah, I know. That's a lot.
He wants to win. He's not there to run mid-pack.
No. No, and he's bounced around enough, you know, to know He knows what kind of he knows what a good what he can do in a good seat. I mean, look what he did with Kyle Busch.
Right.
He did everything in that truck. So everything but win a championship, and he was one of the contenders. So
yeah,
he knows what good seats can do for him.
Yeah, definitely.
But that doesn't. But again, I'm kind of contradicting myself. Good seat does not guarantee you future success either. I mean,
if you could get TRD support or something like that, or you could get a manufacturer to step in. I mean, money doesn't buy you everything, but financial support to that team would go a long ways.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
So who knows?
Yeah,
Bubba's got a history with Toyota too.
Yes, he does, and a winning history with Toyota, and he's got a history with Ford. We should say that it's a short history with Ford, but he's got that too. And we shrug. You know.
Right. All right. With that. Anything else? Did I miss any news?
No, there was a couple of, like, peripheral things. You know, Ford making some comments. The lead executive of Ford making some just weird comments about Kyle Larson that were not a no or not a yes. It was just weird, but nothing outside of that that really sticks out to us, I don't think.
If it seems like I just died off for a minute there, it's because there was a pop-up window on Audition where I record the podcast, and I had a momentary panic wondering if it was still recording, but it is.
I lost it. Oh, okay, good.
it was scary. I don't know what happened. Oh, I do know what happened. I'm playing with these AirPods, and it's changing the audio source.
Careful now.
All right, I just moved those away. Okay.
Careful.
All right, so with that, we go to Michigan International Speedway this weekend. James, I got some big news.
Do it. Say it.
I will be in attendance at Michigan International Speedway, not all weekend, just for the Saturday race.
But Eric and I will be there. Podcast media credentialed at a NASCAR race when there's nobody allowed.
It is going to be really weird to be there with nobody.
Well, you do get to hang out with your boy.
Yeah. Yep. Boy, Brandon Crowd from the Lap Traffic Podcast will be there as well. He'll be there Saturday as well, so I'll meet up with him and chat a little bit.
Bearden?
Should be pretty cool. Bearden's supposed to be there as well. I haven't heard from Bearden whether he's going there or not. Aaron was talking about going, but I haven't heard whether he pulled the trigger or not. And then Gluck will be there this weekend too.
Jeff, I invite you to replace me on this podcast. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff's too big for me. He's too big for the Super Speedway.
He's big time now.
Nothing against Jeff. It's not, I don't blame him. I wouldn't talk to us.
Hey, he's got a brand. He's got to protect.
He does, exactly.
He can't be seen with the likes of the Super Speedway.
Yeah, he can't be seen with us fools. On that note, off last weekend, James and I stuck side by side again. James picked Denny Hamlin for the win. I picked Harvick. James gets the point there, and I picked Tyler Reddick over James's Christopher Bell. So I'm still up 23-22 after 20 races.
It's the same thing every week. We split.
And James is whining this weekend because it's a doubleheader, and we're going to do the doubleheader again like we did last time and pick for both races instead of one. And I get to pick first. So James is crying a river over there. So if you want, James, I'll pick first again next week, and then you can have the Dover doubleheader. That work for you?
Look at you.
You want me to pick 3 weeks in a row? Three races in a row?
What a real pain to pick 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, it's a real burden on you, man.
Well, James already predicted who I was going to pick.
Yeah, and I did say, though, too, you are leading the point standing, so if you're going to get the first in a two doubleheader races, you've earned it. You are leading. So
I want to make a couple points here really quick before I make my pick. First of all, my pick's going to be Kevin Harvick, because of course I'm going to pick Kevin Harvick. He's the most recent winner here at Michigan. However, some things to note, Kevin Harvick has three wins here. Also with three wins here is Joey Logano, who has been excellent here and also won this race, Saturday's race last year, here. And usually when he does win here, he wins it in dominating fashion. So three wins for Joey Logano, and those wins are, you know, in the Kyle Larson era where Kyle Larson won three as well. Denny Hamlin has two wins here. And Chase Elliott is the best average finish here of anybody. He's only run eight races here. And Matt Kenseth's got three wins here too, but those were back in the day a little bit. So I'm going to take Harvick though, because of course I'm going to pick Kevin Harvick.
You've got to. Yes, you've got to. There's a lot of guys I'm, eyeballing. Alex Bowman, one of them. Like you said, Joey Logano, one of them as well.
Alex Bowman, really? You would pick Alex Bowman against Kevin Harvick?
You got Kevin Harvick, and I
almost went with Chase Elliott, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I just
who won California?
Yeah. Bowman.
Was it Bowman? Okay, maybe that's not a bad pick then.
Yeah, I'm eyeballing him a little bit. Boyer's won here recently.
Yep. Well, Boyer won a rain shortened race though.
He did. Yes. So. If I have to, and now this is just purely off, I got to keep pace with Kevin Harvick, and this is a two race pick. I gotta go with Denny. Just
I started typing it before you said it.
It sucks that I have to go there.
I mean, they're gonna split these races, James.
I got to. Yeah, I've got to. And this is what happened at Pocono.
Yeah.
One and the other. I got to try to hang with Harvick. It's tough, but there's not another guy I trust right now that can go toe to toe with Kevin Harvick for two races. I'd like to take Brad Keselowski, but he's just not been as good on the mile and a half, 2 mile tracks right now. So
just to be fair, Brad Keselowski is my sentimental pick. I want Keselowski to win here so bad.
Yeah, he needs it. And Jones,
although I want him to win here on a year that I can actually interview him face to face versus having to do it through Zoom. So
yeah, I'd like to see Jones win here too. You know, home track, and we're Michigan guys, man. We got to root for our guys when we can.
Yeah, how nice would it be for Brad though to sign that contract and then get a win at his home track next week?
Yeah, man, two wins in a row. I mean, he's done that before.
Yep.
He's good at that stuff.
All right, you get dark horse pick first.
Start typing it, Eric.
Start typing it, Tyler Reddick. You're going with?
Yeah, if I got two races of Tyler Reddick, I'm going to take it. Especially the way he runs tracks like Homestead and things like that, those big wide sweeping turns. He seems to like that stuff. So, I'll take him just for consistency's sake. I know he's going to be hovering around the top 10. So I'll take my chances there.
Oh, thank you for filibustering long enough for me here.
I try.
Because I wanted to look and see. And.
Okay. Byron.
Yeah, I wanted to look back and see who
has
historically been good here in the Xfinity Series. And of course, Tyler Reddick won here last year in the Xfinity Series. So
yeah, I got to take him, man. I know. This is my payback for you getting two Harvick picks. At least I get the dark horse of Tyler Reddick. So we'll split.
All right, I'll take Cole Custer.
Oh, you're gonna go with your boy, your lock.
Yep, I'm going with Cole Custer. He's also in a Stuart Haas car. Stuart Haas. You would think would have good notes from here, and there you go.
Yep. No Quinn Hoff, huh?
No Quinn Hoff.
We start putting Matt Kenseth down as a dark horse.
I don't know. We probably should start. He's probably getting available now. It's hard to say a champion is a dark horse, but.
Yeah, he's dragging his way back there.
Jimmy is a dark horse at this point.
Well, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'd be all right with he's a 7-time champion. I'd still pick him as a I'd call him a dark horse. If we're picking Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell.
Points on the line, baby.
And Cole Custer. Wait, that's right. Can I pick Cole Custer? Because he won, right? I can't pick him.
Oh, yeah, you can't anymore.
All right. Well, then I'll just go Christopher Bell.
I was going to allow it.
I know you were. I'll go Christopher Bell then.
Chris Bell. Yeah, it's a good pick.
I forgot. Custer's got the win, so he can't be a dark horse anymore.
Yeah, he's a playoff driver, so yeah, he's...
Yeah, definitely can't be a dark horse.
And Tyler Reddick's going to be a playoff driver, too.
Yeah, probably after winning this weekend.
Yeah, he's trying. He's doing things.
All right, James, we need to talk about the Fantasy League this week. It's very important.
Eric, do you want to plug the Fantasy League?
Very important that we talk about the Fantasy League this weekend because I finally got a win this weekend.
You did, 233 to Jay Wintz, 230. You squeaked it out, Eric. You did it.
Can I just say before we talk about the Fantasy League that if you design a website that has a sidebar.
Here it is.
Why would you design a website that then has another sidebar that is in a different place than the actual sidebar?
A sidebar inside a sidebar?
This NASCAR.com website is... Okay, so here's the deal. So when I go to NASCAR.com, and let me expand this and make sure. Yeah, this is the same if
I'm full with the screen. Anytime we talk about the Fantasy League, let's just rename it the Grape Section.
So NASCAR, I give NASCAR credit. They've had many iterations of their website. I do believe that their best website was probably back in like the late 90s.
The Marty Smith days, yeah.
So right now I'm on the NASCAR website and there's like nothing in the middle. Why is it not loading in the middle? That's weird. So I have a sidebar here on the left side that says quick links. And I guess fantasy is on there, but it has schedule, news, blah, blah, blah. Earlier, I came on this site because I wanted to look at point standings. So here's my sidebar. Nothing on there in that sidebar. I have to click the little hamburger button up here in the top to get another sidebar that then has my point standings in it. But I went to click on that hamburger because that's where I got the point standings to get fantasy. And oh, nope. Oh, yeah, it's way down at the bottom there. But yeah. Then you got a tab bar down at the bottom that has fantasy in it. It's a terrible website. God.
It's bad. It's a bad app, too.
Absolutely horrible.
But anyway.
The app is really irritating because you log into the app during a race and it pops up the results.
It's bad.
Did I even go to fantasy?
You won. Just be happy. Can you just be happy?
There we go. And then I can't figure out how to get my fantasy team. This is why James always does this. All right. Let me get to the league now. And results.
Plug it for you. I have it ready if you need me to.
All right. Like James said, I got the win. Jay went second. James finished fourth this week, so good run for James.
If Denny Hamlin would have been the winner, I would have probably caught you, I think.
Yeah, did you pick Christopher Bell?
I had him, actually I didn't even have him on my roster.
Todd tried to talk us into picking Christopher Bell.
Well, look at where Todd finished.
Yeah. Todd finished eighth.
Poor Todd. Todd was worse.
Nine.
That's his only
Todd finished eighth out of nine, except the ninth guy didn't pick, so
yep, we lost Toyota fans somewhere along the way. He doesn't want to play anymore. So yeah.
It's because he's probably a Kyle Busch fan and he's done.
Yeah, that's okay.
So looking at the overall standings, I'm still hanging out in sixth place. Freight Train, that's Todd. He's still leading.
Todd's doing good. It's still close at the top.
Yeah, Ranger Runyon is second. It's 36.53 to 36.26. Denny the Many hanging out in third. 35.90, then Justin 713. Smokey come back. James still barely ahead of me. Yeah, you're ahead of me by about 100.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah. Not quite as close as the race picks, but it's still close. You still got time to pull away.
we're in our own class.
Yeah, exactly. Racing in the back of the pack.
Yep. We're mid packers.
We're barely ahead of Toyota fan who hasn't picked in like the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Yep. So all right, with that, shout outs this week, James, you got any?
I'm continuing on my NASCAR Thunder 2004 resurgence. I have been playing the career mode. I'm halfway through my first season, and I'm basically Rick Ware racing right now. Almost got a win the other day at Sonoma. That was a highlighted moment, but nice. My underfunded equipment only could get me up to fourth. I felt like Kurt Busch, you know, a couple years ago trying to steal one, but everything else has been, I'm consistently in the 30s right now.
How bad is it? What is this? PS Art. Or Xbox? Xbox? Original it's Xbox?
Nope, it's a PS2.
Okay.
Yeah. And man, it's really, that career mode is really hard because I put on the hardest difficulty and I'm really trying to earn my stripes, and it's been very challenging.
What year did you say it was? 04?
Yeah, NASCAR 04. So it'd be the 03 season.
So how bad is that NASCAR 2004 on the PS2 is better than the current NASCAR Heat on the current gen?
It's just great, man. It's so much fun to have the career mode. You pick all your pit crew, you build your garage. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm back in. I'm fully in. I don't know if I'm going to play beyond one season, but I'm really trying to get a win.
And you can probably buy a PS2 and the game for less than it costs to buy NASCAR Heat.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah. I know.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I have a shout out as well. I want to shout out Michigan International Speedway. And the reason I wanted to shout them out is because I don't know if other tracks have been doing this or not. I don't follow the other tracks on Facebook, but I follow Michigan International Speedway. And they did a thing this week where a lot of the tracks let the fans down on into the fan zone and onto the track. You get to go down there for driver introductions. You get to walk across the track at certain points, and everybody brings their markers and signs the finish line. And, of course, there's no fans at Michigan this weekend, so you can't sign the finish line, except that Michigan allowed you to send them a message, and they would sign the finish line for you. Well, it's too late to enter now if you guys want to do it, so too late, sorry. But one of my friends actually posted the picture. They've got the pictures up on their website, mispeedway.com, and you can look and see where they signed your name on the finish line for this weekend's races, which is pretty cool.
And there you go.
Yeah. So
that is pretty cool. It's a way to get the fan interaction that you just don't have. You know, whole thing's been so weird.
Yeah, definitely. I've never signed the finish line at Michigan. I did sign the finish line at Daytona when I went to the 500.
Yep, I did too. I did too when I was down there. And you know, Eric, you and I are familiar with how fan friendly Michigan is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this has got to be hurting those, you know, that staff that really cares, you know, about the fans. So.
Yep, definitely.
Good to see him trying something.
And big shout out to Michigan International Speedway for approving me for credentials this weekend. So.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I mean, it's really great. When I saw you, you didn't even text me first. I saw it on Facebook. I was like,
well, see, here's the deal. I put it in the group chat on Facebook, but somebody boycotts Facebook during the day.
Sometimes I do. Yeah, it's
you need to just turn the notifications on Messenger. Let Zuck get all your data.
I like to be away from the social from time to time.
Yeah, but see, then you miss big announcements like that.
I know.
Because I wasn't going to send a message to you and Todd separately.
Todd has become another – he's equal to me? Just kidding.
He's equal to you. Man, he works for NASCAR.
No, Todd's our boy.
So bummer that I don't get to see Todd this weekend, though. He will be in Wisconsin for the Xfinity race this weekend.
Yeah, he's going Xfinity Series racing.
I'm a little bummed that there's no Xfinity race at Michigan this weekend, because honestly, that's the best race of the weekend usually.
Yeah.
So I'm a little disappointed that's gone. I had the opportunity to pick one day. So I could have picked the truck race on Friday or either cup race Saturday or Sunday. I decided I want to do a cup race. And I just told them, just tell me what day, Saturday or Sunday, and I'll go. And they picked Saturday. So if there was an Xfinity race in there, that would have factored in my decision, I think.
Mm.
So.
Yep. No, I get it. I think you picked the right day. That's going
to
be.
I think so, too. There's an advantage to both days, because Sunday, there's a little less risk for the drivers, so they might run a little harder because they don't need to worry about tearing their equipment up. But on Saturday, they don't know what they've got. You know, they're all going in fresh. Right. So it's going to be fun both days.
Yeah, I think so.
So, and then I get to, you know, sit at home. The best part about this, James, I don't need to get a hotel room. I can drive down in the morning and drive home at night. So
yeah. And I look forward to hearing what your experience was. I mean, I hope we do discuss that in the podcast next week, just to see, you know.
Definitely.
From two of us who have been there so many times, but you've gone down recently as well. I'm curious to see what's going on.
I'm very curious too.
Todd does give us decent insights from time to time on what he's doing, but he's working.
Right.
And you know, you'll be working as well, but it'll be in a little bit more of a freeing capacity as far as the media is concerned. So,
yeah, I likely won't come back with any audio or anything. Obviously can't talk to any of the drivers, just press box access. But I will be tweeting up a storm on Saturday. So if you guys want to follow live tweets, you can do that at T Super Speedway on Twitter on Saturday. I'll try to post them on Sunday too, but I won't be at the track on Sunday, just Saturday. So, with that, James, where can they find you on social media if they want to chat with you during the week?
Yeah, at James Cush on Twitter. I'll be retweeting you.
There you go. I'll repeat mine again at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. If you want more of the podcast, you can visit us at www.thesuperspeedway.com. You can find old podcasts, all kinds of stuff on there. Show notes, links to all the articles we discussed today and in past episodes. There's race coverage, photos. Again, won't be much of that from this weekend, but the Twitter will be the place to be. So make sure you follow that. Hopefully it doesn't crash like it did at Chicagoland last year. That sucked. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you find us today. We hope you continue to subscribe. We hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And if you want to become a patron and help out the show, you can do that at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. Did I miss anything, James?
No, man. I think you nailed it.
The dog only barked a couple times. So.
Safe travels.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're going into the den.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an hour closer than it used to be with where I live now. So that's nice. And then I don't have to do the hotel thing. Don't have to get there way early because I'm not fighting fan traffic and you know, not having to worry about stuff going on before the race because there's nothing. So
it's going to be weird, man. You're going to pull right in and pull right out. It's going to be like that, the infamous Tuesday race that I went to, probably even better.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be pretty neat. So, all right. So yeah, follow along on Twitter at T Super Speedway on Saturday. I'll be tweeting away. It is the Michigan Firekeepers Casino 312 and the Consumers Energy 312 from Michigan International Speedway this weekend. Truck Series is in action on Friday evening at Michigan, and the Xfinity Series is Saturday, I believe, at I don't remember which. What Elkhart Lake?
Yeah, Road America.
Road America. I always get Road America and Mid-Ohio confused. I don't know why. But Road America in Wisconsin, so good racing out there as well. You know, hopefully Todd has a good time out there sitting at the road course while I'm hanging out in Michigan. So
yeah.
We'll be back next week to discuss it all. Like I said, follow along on Twitter. And until then, everybody, let's go racing.